And welcome to the Three Links Oddcast Christmas episode for 2022. Ainsley, Mike, and Toby are all very happy that you decided to spend part of your holiday season with us. On this episode, we'll give a recap of some of our favorite moments from the past year, look ahead to some of what we have planned for 2023, and share some holiday messages from some of our guests from the past year, including a very special message from a special guest. So sit back, relax, have a mug of hot cocoa with some mini marshmallows, and enjoy the Christmas episode of the Three Links Oddcast.
Hello, ho, ho, and welcome to our third annual holiday blowout extravaganza bazaar of the Three Links Oddcast. I am one of your hosts, Ainsley Hylick.
I'm another of your hosts, Toby Hansen.
And I'm your third host, Mike Dominiak. And I'd like to remind you that this podcast is brought to you with the help of Pig and a Pug Bath Stuff. Now, they're going to be having their holiday clearance of all their special scents and smells of candles and soaps. So go ahead and check them out on their Etsy store. That's Pig and a Pug Bath Stuff.
Wonderful. Well, as Ainsley alluded to at the top of the show, it's our Christmas episode. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I don't go hogging all the eggnog there in Illinois, Ainsley.
Oh, no.
This is the episode that we like to do every year where we look back on everything that we've done because we've had quite an interesting year. You know, we brought Mike on as a co-host and we've had some great topics. So this is our chance to look back on everything that we've done and kind of collect our thoughts, reassess, give some of our previous guests a chance to drop in and share something that they may want to share. We do have some messages recorded from some of our guests. But to start with, I want to talk about some of the highlights from this past year. And I'll go first. For me, the biggest highlight of all of the entire year was the episode where we got eminent Canadian economist Herb Emery on the show. Now, back in 2018 or so, I read his book, A Young Man's Benefit, and it was probably the best explanation of why Odd Fellowship functions the way that it does. And it gave me such clarity going off to Sovereign Grand Lodge and really understanding the power dynamics and how everything is set up. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could just send an email to somebody and get in touch with one of Canada's leading economists and get him to come on our little podcast here. Well, of course, that's crazy talk. Am I right, guys? That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
totally eminent, who the heck are we?
Yeah, eminent economists do not come on these little tiny podcasts. It just doesn't happen. It's like, what, are we going to dig up Milton Friedman and put him on the show here? It's Stephen Dubner sitting around going, when is the Three Links Oddcast going to call me? No, he's not. He has better things to do. But I sent an email to one of the co-authors of the book, George Emery, because his email address was at the front of the book. Lo and behold, he emailed me back. He says, oh, yeah, you want to talk to my son, Herb? He's the economist who did most of the research. So his dad gave me his email address. I emailed him. He's like, That is so cool. I definitely want to come on your podcast because back about the turn of the century, you know, a little over 20 years ago, he had done a master's thesis on benefits in fraternal orders based largely on the data he collected from the Grand Lodge of British Columbia. Because I want to say he was in Vancouver at the time and attended maybe Simon Fraser or something like that. I don't remember that detail, but he had done all of this research with the Grand Lodge of British Columbia. And so past about 2002, when the book was published, he really didn't know anything about the Oddfellows or what had happened. He assumed that we had just dried up and gone away. And so he was so excited to find out that Oddfellowship is thriving and growing again. And there's a whole generation of younger members who are joining. He was just delighted to be on the show. And I have to say that is probably as close as I'm going to get to interviewing one of my real heroes or people that I really admire on this show, because I just the fact that I could send an email to one of Canada's greatest economists and he would be happy to join us on a show, that just blew my mind.
And not just happy to join us on a show, that he was such an excellent guest. He was not dry. He was not what you would think of as a stereotypical economist. Yeah, he was really engaging. I was not part of the show then, but it's one of my favorite episodes that I listened to because I learned a lot without getting bored.
Yeah, he was really great for not just talking about information, but making it come alive and giving it that context to make it meaningful. I was just so amazed by that. I'm hoping maybe for the coming year, I can pull off another Hail Mary like that and get another high profile guest. But we'll talk about that toward the end of the show. Now, who else wants to talk about one of their highlights this year?
I could go next.
Yeah.
So I know I talked about this on our the anniversary special, but I think my still favorite episode we did this year was the Banner Down Under episode. And where we spoke with, what was his name? David, what was his last name? His name escapes me right now.
Yeah.
We'll look it up and put it in there. But that episode was just so fascinating. And after that episode, one of our listeners from Down Under, Josh Tarrant.
David Hampton.
David Hampton. Thank you very much. So Josh Tarrant has been in pretty consistent communication with me on Facebook Messenger, and he pops on and has, you know, funny little anecdotes or interesting finds that he'll share with me. And he even sent me a book of the history of the Oddfellows from Down Under. And so, yeah, I feel like the Banner Down Under episode was, for me, the just so fascinating and just so different from any of the other episodes we've done. So that's still sticking out for me as a fave.
You know, one of my favorite parts of that episode was when you would put on your art history hat mm-hmm. and start analyzing the images and go, okay, that's sun and that's cloud. So it means that this is some sort of a protective, benevolent thing. And just as someone who has somewhat of a background in the arts, having a music degree, to see that level of analysis carried out on visual art, to me, is always amazing and stunning. And I so appreciate the depth of your knowledge when it comes to those things.
And visual language is something that I had to learn a lot about as an art history major, but it's also something I use every day as a tattoo artist, because a lot of times people are trying to tell a story with their project, and I have to figure out a way to tell that story visually, because a lot of times you don't want to put a bunch of words into what you're getting. A lot of times people do want to get a lot of words, but a lot of times they don't. And you have to convey a very deep concept with a very as simple as possible with a visual language that somebody could look at and be able to kind of understand what's happening, no matter what language they speak or if somebody can't read or whatever. And that's literally why we have a visual language, is because it predates written words. And it's a very, it's an actual viable language that crosses the, you know, the borders of any country or anybody's, you know, native tongue. And it's something that anybody can understand. And that's why it's something that I've always gravitated towards and find a lot of interest in. And I was really, I really had a good time digging in on that too. Yeah. I hope we could get some more episodes where we talk about art and artifacts and stuff like that, so I can really just go to town.
I think you had half of the Oddfellow realm of the world going and digging once again through their closets and their attics, looking to see if they could find a similar artifact.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times the items are easy to overlook, especially if it is something like a banner that is rolled. Oftentimes it's rolled up. In the case of the one down under, it was found under the floorboards. But a lot of times it's like, you know, you've got the storage closet room and it's like shoved up on the top of the back of the top shelf, or these things are, you know, just lying around literally in our lodges. Just, we don't even realize it because it's in a corner somewhere rolled up, or it's in the back of something, or it's behind something. And we've got these artistic antiquities just waiting to be rediscovered.
Yeah. The things we use all the time are the ones that are up front. And yes. The other ones are things you just sort of look at as extra stuff.
Yep. Or it's stuff that, you know, oh, this lodge closed and we ended up with all their stuff. We never looked at it. We just shoved it wherever we could. And yeah, there's just waiting to be unfurled and hung up somewhere in your lodge hall is amazing stuff. And the more it's hung up and the more it's out, the better it is, because you can enjoy it that way. It's not doing any good, you know, rotting away, you know, dry rotting in the back of the, you know, the supply closet.
No, we don't use that. Don't touch it. Leave it there. Oh, but it's so nice. No, that's why it stays nice. We don't touch it. We don't touch it.
Exactly. Don't even look at it.
Yeah, I guess I was a little torn on this question, because obviously I am a huge fan of the Patriarchs Militant episode.
Yeah, it was one of our absolute best episodes of the year, I thought, because you, as a guest at that time, did such a great job of making the Patriarchs Militant seem interesting and engaging. One of the reasons why I've not been overly involved with it, although I was just elected lieutenant of my canton this past week,
woo-hoo,
is I never really kind of understood why it was meaningful, but you made it meaningful. And I have attended more canton meetings this year because of that than I ever have previously in my entire life as an Oddfellow.
Well, that's good. Maybe I should have picked it as my favorite, but I was saying I was torn. It was between that one, but I have to say the actual favorite was the one we weren't supposed to do. When we had another guest lined up that fell through, we talked about our Oddfellow mentors. That meant the most to me, because I got a chance to talk about people who have really impacted my time. And I think as an organization, we don't put enough emphasis on mentoring and the people that guide you through. Because without them, without that effort, there would be no organization. You can't pass it down to the next generation. It doesn't do any good to, you know, bring in one new member if all you do is bring them in and don't teach them anything and get them going along the path. And, you know, Ainsley's, once he talked about most of them still actively involved with his lodge and helping it go. Mm-hmm. And then Toby, you spoke about some, and some that have passed on that weren't. Was one of those ones that you lost recently?
Yeah. One of them, less than 2 years prior, at the time, because I think we did that show back in the sort of late winter time. And no, that was a summer. That was a summer show.
Yeah, that was like September, I think.
Yeah. That was talking about Marshall Miller, who was past Grand Master here, mm-hmm, in Washington, past Grand Representative, longtime Grand Treasurer, and just the way he dedicated his later years in Odd Fellowship to educating younger members and all the effort and time that he put into that. That was a huge example for me, and one that I try really hard to follow now.
Yeah, it's hard to do, to make that connection with every new member that comes in. I mean, you try to do it, but everyone has slightly different interests, and it takes the whole lodge to take an interest and try to help out. You can't just have one person be the king of the lodge trying to mentor everybody. And I think when we talked about all our different mentors and the different strengths they had and the different ways that they helped us out, it showed that even one mentor isn't enough for a member. They need a breadth of people helping them. It really is an organization of mutual benefit and not just paying out something. It's the way that you learn and grow.
Yeah, I agree. And each mentor will have a different experience, and they've probably held different offices or been on different committees that they could really educate anybody on. And I'm just so lucky to have two past grandmasters that attend pretty much every lodge meeting of mine, because I don't know where we would be without that extra knowledge and help. And even just with little things like reminding everybody that there's a school of instruction at the Grand Lodge on, you know, January 21st or whatever, you know, like things that, oh yeah, that is something that like I should remember to let everybody know. I wouldn't think to do that, but let's make sure everybody gets involved. And or just educating them about things that happen at Grand Lodge, like, you know, being on the Children's Home Committee or anything like that, that, you know, people might not realize is something we do. So, yeah.
Well, what do you say we take this opportunity to listen to the first of our holiday messages?
Excellent.
One of the great things we did this year, I had wanted since very early on to find out about Odd Fellowship in different places. And of course, one place where Odd Fellowship is quite a bit different is in the Nordic countries, in Finland, Sweden, Norway, Denmark. And being of Scandinavian heritage myself, I was very interested. So we were able to connect with Brother Torbjörn Andersson, and he has recorded this wonderful holiday message to share with all of the listeners.
Hi, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Torbjörn Andersson.
Sister Jannica Hermansson from Sweden.
Since the last time you heard from me, we've been to a 100-year celebration of a lodge near us. We've been to a couple of various degree ceremonies. And I will be, this is unofficially yet of the Fiat, be starting an academy project for the Odd Fellows Academy. And we're also slowly seeing an upswing in membership here in Sweden. And finally, we want to say
God jul, gott nytt år och en riktigt god fortsättning.
Oh, wow, what a great message. Thank you so much, Torbjörn and Jannica. It's great to hear from you.
That was great.
Yeah, it's great that they're doing that special project there. I mean, that's what it is to be an Odd Fellow, is to not just, you know, go to lodge regularly, but to get into those types of projects that make a difference.
And he was just featured in their Odd Fellows magazine over there, too, right?
That's right. He was. They did a little story about him being on the Three Links Oddcast.
Woo-hoo.
Now, one of the fun things for me, since I'm the engineer and producer, is every now and then we get to do special episodes where I get the chance to either record like a special intro or some sort of background music, or like sometime our Secrets of Freemasonry Revealed episode. Where Mike, you were, I am so amazed that you were not kicked out of your Masonic lodge for sharing all the secrets of Freemasonry on the podcast. The only problem is with all the internet problems that you have on your end, it all got garbled and nobody actually heard any of it. So I, even though that was a bit of a technical challenge to work with, I have so much fun making those special episode intros and things. One of my favorites was the Pocatello episode, where we talked to Jessica and Dustin from Pocatello about how much their lodge has grown and how they've branched out. And then later in the year, finding out just a couple weeks ago that they have chartered their encampment. They have an encampment in Pocatello again. Well, that's great, but I love being able to put together the special recordings and things like that. That is really fun for me. And we had a couple of those this year. Of course, the Secrets of Freemasonry Revealed. Our Halloween episode this year, where I got to do the Alfred Hitchcock style introduction. Mm-hmm. That was fun. Let's see, what other ones did we do? Oh, the Texas episode with Meredith Moore. That was one where I did the special Western Swing introduction. I did Big Balls in Cowtown. And it's just, it is so much fun to do those things, you know, mix it up a little bit. I get to use a little bit of my background as a musician and producer and engineer to make these kind of little special vignettes.
Yeah, I think people don't realize how much goes into the technical side. If they've never produced videos or done a podcast or made intros for things, a lot of time and work goes into it that no one ever sees. And so I can imagine that when you finally get to do something a little special that everyone gets to notice for its own merit, that really would hit the spot.
And it's not just a wash, rinse, repeat episode edit either. You get to kind of flex your professional muscle a little bit there to try to kind of put a little extra panache to make it a little extra fancy, you know, for whatever the theme is. I've gotten to do a couple of little special episode graphics as well. I don't do them for every episode, but whenever the chance arises, Toby will ask me, "Hey, think you could put together a little extra graphic for this one?" And same thing, I'll just kind of have fun with it and play.
Yeah, they're the beard oil of the whole podcast. They just make everything glisten and shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, it is so just luxurious to be able to turn to you and say, "Hey, Ainsley, can you make some special art for this episode?" Like the Pride and Odd Fellowship episode we did mm-hmm. with Chris Emmons. First of all, what a fun episode that was for me to just sit back and hear you guys talk about your experiences in Odd Fellowship. And then that really amazing artwork that you did for that episode was fantastic as well.
And the amazing imagery of a statue of you in Lederhosen, that was some artwork that you had to imagine.
Maybe one day we will do like a special Bavarian episode and you can actually see me in my Lederhosen. This time of year, though, they are safely put away in the closet waiting until next fall when, you know, 1st of September, they come out and get dusted off and I go out and start playing Oktoberfests again.
Is it like once the first leaf leaves the tree, then that's like the summoning siren song of the leather pant?
Well, you know, to pull back the curtain a little bit here, leading a polka band, there is that one time of year that everybody wants to hire me and I can triple my prices and make really good money. And that, of course, is Oktoberfest season because everybody needs a polka band. You know, not everybody went through music school and learned how to play the chicken dance the way that I did. So I start getting requests for Oktoberfest in December for the following September and October. So I actually have three contracts waiting signatures right now for 2023. So what I usually try and do is book the big stuff first and then fill in with smaller local gigs around that, because there are a lot of places in the Pacific Northwest that want me to bring the band. So generally what happens is I go through one burst of booking from about December through March, and then nobody thinks about Oktoberfest until about mid-July, and then everybody with the small gig starts freaking out going, ah, we need somebody to play at Oktoberfest, and that's when they start calling me up. So I usually have the Oktoberfest stuff ready to go right after Labor Day weekend. So once the calendar hits September and I know I've got weekends coming up, I just pull the leather pants out of the closet, hang them up for a couple days, let them air out. and then I go out and, you know, I get my trenkahoot and all of the stuff, my blue gingham shirt. And, you know, I do all the Oktoberfest stuff. So I usually start that the 1st of September. And honestly, for me, September and October are just a blur. I have no clue what's going on. It is amazing that I can still find a couple of Friday evenings to get together with you guys and do these podcasts, because I am so busy with everything going on that time of year. And then that's usually when I also take a couple days, go over to Idaho and visit their sessions. It's Washington sessions at the end of June, so that's always a good time, but it doesn't really conflict with any of my professional stuff. So now, another technical thing that listeners do not hear is I actually do a little bit of editing on the dialogue. Rarely do I edit anything that we say as hosts, but sometimes we have guests on who are not used to speaking publicly and they're kind of a little uncomfortable. And so they'll repeat themselves or they'll pause and think. I usually take a little bit of that out. I'm always very wary of editing dialogue because I do not want to change the meaning of anything. But if there are too many times where somebody says, well, and then I, Carl wasn't there that night. And okay, so when we do the second degree, well, I take all of that verbal pausing out and condense it down to when the lodge does the second degree to keep the podcast listenable. Some of these episodes can become incredibly, incredibly detailed, especially when we have a very knowledgeable, very sort of hyper-focused guest. And so sometimes I have to go through and very carefully prune some of the excess foliage from the dialogue, shall we say.
Like a beautifully sculpted bonsai or a topiary.
That's right. Or even just a boxwood hedge where I mow it down with a hedge trimmer.
I think the one thing that people would be really surprised at is that Ainsley doesn't exist. He is a deep fake that you created.
Come on, Mike,
skills.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
The first two letters of my name are AI.
Yeah,
so exactly. It's a conspiracy.
That's kind of the big giveaway right there. If it
right
were
in front
Jernsley,
of
Ainsley, nobody would believe it. But Ainsley, it's AI right there in the beginning. But
it's right in front of you.
Yeah, and really, whoever programmed you not only did a brilliant job with just the verbal skills, but the beard keeps looking better and better.
It does. That's how
you know
it's fake.
When you're digitally accruing more data, then the beard gets more and more bigger. It's like the beard is like the cryptocurrency mining sort of place. I don't know what those are called anymore. I'm data mining in my beard and it just keeps getting bigger. There we go.
Ainsley is the real world example of that little magnetic guy with the filings he did where you used to draw beard on.
Yeah.
Oh, Wooly Willy. Is that what it was?
Yes. Just keep adding some more filings all the time and just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I'm just like a iron oxide magnet.
Now, another episode I really loved from this past year, it was the episode, despite the tornado warnings in the middle, the one we did with Shane Simmons from Louisville.
Yes.
Hearing you and him absolutely geek out about tattooing for
in the middle
an
of the
hour
apocalypse.
And a half. Yeah, I was just like, wow, these two men are off in their own little world, and I just get a glimpse of it.
And we had to sanitize it so heavily for listeners, too.
Are you telling me that tattoo artists sometimes work blue?
I'm going to say, like, sometimes, it, you know, like, it returns to its sailor heritage, or, you know, the stories get a little raunchy, and the language gets a little colorful.
I have a hard time believing that such a clean-cut, straight-laced group as tattoo artists would ever say a foul word.
I try so hard to not say anything that you have to edit out on this show.
Yeah, and anyone who listens regularly will know that I don't have to edit you. You know, what you say ends up in the show.
It's raw. It's the sanitized version, though. I have a potty mouth. I have a terrible potty mouth. They come from a long line of cursors, and we all have potty mouths, and working in an occupation that encourages it, it makes it even worse. So Oddfellow time is my time that I have to remember that not all times and places are appropriate for all my favorite four-letter superlatives.
But you have an excellent filter.
Yes. I put on my professional mouth, and instead of my other professional mouth.
Well, you did work in a bank at one time, so you know.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, yes. And so that was a good experience to learn how to not fake my language, but to I don't know what the right word is, but to button it up a little bit.
Well, as they say in educational circles, that's called code shifting.
Yes,
you know, code shifting. When you're going from one group of people with one social expectation to a different group, and you know how to navigate that really well, which is one of those side benefits that comes of being an Oddfellow, because you get the experience of, like, oh, we have a bunch of very erudite older people around us, so we should speak in a way that they will be very comfortable with.
Yeah, and also when we're trying to, you know, be in Oddfellow mode, one of the hopes is that we're trying to be a better version of ourselves. So with that comes, hopefully, you know, like, I'll try to dress a little bit nicer when I go to lodge now. So, like, I've started wearing, like, a polo and things like that. And, you know, whenever we go to the sessions and we have to dress in business attire, and for me, that's an elevated existence, because I, you know, especially not, you know, working in corporate type settings at all, I'm a jeans and t-shirt person all day, every day. So I like playing dress up. I like kind of getting a little fancier, and I like having to challenge myself to not use the F word every sentence. Or as, like, the only adjective I know.
I know that you, as a podcast, we could use that language, but then you have to click the not safe for work flag. And I want to make sure that it's as accessible as possible to people. We did actually let one swear through, and it was our gender segregated episode where we talked to Roger and Savannah from Texas. Mm. It was just so charming. I couldn't bleep it out.
I don't even know what was said.
We're not going to repeat it now.
For our keen listeners, you can go back and listen to that. Okay. That episode very carefully. It's when she's talking about the chicken bingo.
Okay.
Now, one way that we can keep from accidentally slipping out of Oddfellow speech mode is to occasionally take breaks. So I think this will be a good time for us to take one of those breaks, gives Ainsley a chance to reset his brain again, and listen to the Hanukkah message from our friend Michael Tucker from Chester Lodge number 281 in Virginia.
Hi, everybody. My name is Michael Tucker, and I am the warden of Chester Lodge number 281 in Chester, Virginia. I am excited to be honored with the chance to give you the Hanukkah message this year. Hanukkah means dedication. And when I think of the celebration of Hanukkah, I think of being able to share all of my love and my blessings and all of my good fortune with those around me. And I dedicate myself every year to doing that same thing. When we light the Hanukkah candles, we light the Shema, the servant candle, and we use that servant candle to light all the other candles. See, that's where the dedication comes in. We take the first candle, the servant candle, the Shema, which represents ourselves, and we light the next candle, not by extinguishing its light and just spreading it to the next one, but instead by multiplying the light, so that way the menorah glows even brighter. The same way that God gave us those blessings, where even in a dark time, we would think, okay, well, one day is over. It wasn't just over. It was extended. And so all of the joy and the blessings and the good fortune, it was extended over to the next day. It allowed us to have 8 days of blessings. But we use that time to educate and to fellowship and to love one another and share those blessings that we had received from God. Well, the funny thing is, now that I am a member of the Odd Fellows, when I think of Odd Fellowship and I think of Hanukkah, they seem to tie in together. And here's why. Hanukkah is all about dedication, and Odd Fellowship is very much the same thing. It is literally three links together. It is friendship, love, and truth. It is to help your neighbor. When I think of Odd Fellowship, I'm always reminded of the saying, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So if we want to be strong, and we want to be beautiful, and we want to be, you know, blessed, and we want to be progressive, we have to continue to help each other. So we do this by relieving the distress, healing the sick, burying the dead, and educating the orphan. We do this by making our world a better place, not by extinguishing our own light, but by multiplying our light and shedding our blessings and being able to help one another. You know, sometimes it could be a very simple word and it just helps encourage you. Other times it could be feeding you and that helps. And then times after that, it could be by just laying someone to rest and helping them know that they're not alone. So in doing all of this, we get the idea of Hanukkah and Odd Fellowship. So this year, when we go to celebrate Hanukkah, and some of you are with me celebrating, I want you to remember every time you light that candle, if you are an Odd Fellow, think of it as being able to share your Odd Fellowship. Lighting that candle is connecting that chain, which allows us to be able to continue to help our community. So I wish you all the best holidays. I wish you all a happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas. And I wish you all just joy and peace in the new year.
And that was some pretty venerable admonition from a warden. And I think there was a lot in there that we can take heart in. A lot of times we get set in our ways in Odd Fellows and you in with your own religion, because we don't do that in the lodge. We practice our religion out of the lodge in our own personal lives. And we don't always think about how other people view their religions and how Odd Fellowship connects. And I think that was a really good explanation of how in that particular exercise of a holiday, you can remember Odd Fellowship. And I think that can apply to almost any of the holidays throughout the year, no matter which religion you belong to, or even if you don't belong to a particular religion and just have a belief. But when you are thankful for the things that you have in your life and you are looking at where you're going and who you're going with, that sort of chance to stop and take joy in being an Odd Fellow and how that connects us all together is a powerful message. And I really thank Mike for doing that.
Oh, yeah, he's such a brilliant guy. I got to meet him at Sovereign because, you know, we were in Winston-Salem. It's just down the road from where he's at in Virginia. What a really brilliant member he is, and a great message. You know, Hanukkah by itself is a great story because it's one of the few moments of triumph in Jewish history. And then they get to the temple and they're like, okay, we only have a little teeny bit of oil. Let's see if it can last the entire time. And they made it 8 nights on that little bit of oil. That is pretty amazing. And it's a good reminder of the covenant that God has with mankind. You know, that's a really important part of Jewish tradition, Christian tradition, you know, any kind of monotheistic tradition. They all have that same idea of the sort of benevolent protector father. And that is deeply ingrained in the philosophy of Odd Fellowship as well.
I was going to say that I think Hanukkah also is a lesson for our smaller lodges that are struggling. The idea that, you know, they're afraid they're not going to be able to hold on and survive. And that idea that if you have belief and you focus on what your mission is and you want it badly enough, you can make your 8 members last long enough to bring in the more members that you need.
Oh, I was going to say, I love the idea, you know, he was saying about how the light, it multiplies, and how that really resonated with me, with the lodge, with energy that we bring in as members. And if we're bringing an excited energy and we believe in the, you know, the message of Odd Fellowship, and we believe in our lodges and what we can do together as a group, and that multiplies, that there is a multiplying factor that happens with energy and fire and light and things like that. Whenever you add more fuel to that fire and sharing it and bundling our sticks and all those kind of coming together to, as a group, to multiply our resources, it's a great kind of message to symbolically go back and forth with.
Yeah. I mean, what you said, Mike, almost sounds like the subject of next year's Hanukkah message. We'll have to find someone for that in 2023. Now, another highlight of the show is a couple of times we've actually recorded it on location. In 2021, Christopher and I went to the museum rededication in Idaho and recorded some members there that we talked to. Well, in 2022, Ainsley, you and I attended the Grand Lodge of California session, mm-hmm. which was a huge, gigantic production. It's probably second only to Sovereign Grand Lodge as far as just being a big kind of event. You know, it takes 4 days to do everything that they have to do there. And I actually packed up a full mobile production studio, microphones and everything, brought my computer, brought all of the interfaces and cables and everything, packed it in the trunk of my car, drove it down to Modesto, California, picked you up at the airport mm-hmm. in Sacramento, and we attended the session. And then the last day of the session, we recorded our episode, Demystifying Grand Lodge. And we had two excellent guests, Matthew Finkelstein and Adam Patolsky. Adam being very experienced, having spent many years at the Grand Lodge level, Matt being a first-time member. And I thought it was incredibly insightful, the kind of observations they had to share with the listeners.
I really enjoyed doing those hotel room session episodes because it's just a different format for us to be together in the same room recording, which is, it just kind of gives a different energy and feel to everything. And it's like a little special episode to do, a different experience.
The Toby and Ainsley Morning Show.
That's yeah. right. Yeah, we could be doing morning drive time radio.
Oh my goodness. we need more sound effects.
Yeah, I would need a whole bunch of drops, because those little sound effects that they play in that, those are called drops. So you know,
like you need like a whole board of buttons of them.
Exactly. You need the whole control surface with all of the drops for the things. But the question is, if we were going to do morning drive time radio, what kind of station would we be on?
Ooh,
I don't know. I feel like it would be like some sort of like random AM sports channel like station. I don't know if I'm ready for FM.
I would definitely be down to do sports talk. As our listeners know, every now and then I do sort of veer off into the weeds and start talking about this or that. You know, the Mariners made it to the playoffs for the first time in 22 years in September, actually in October. So I was excited about that. And then I had to complain about college football. And, you know, this has been kind of a mediocre season for the Seahawks so far. I'm all set to talk about, you know, blocking assignments and drafting a better defensive line for the Seahawks and getting some linebackers who are a little quicker to pick up where the movement is coming from in the offense. But hey, Tariq Woolen, fantastic cornerback, long arms, good range, really great at defending the receivers without picking up any unnecessary pass interference calls. So I'm all set to do sports radio here, but we're talking about Odd Fellowship.
Well, that, and I can just imagine that sports radio show, because you would be speaking all these things, and then Ainsley would go, just how many touchdowns did the third baseman get from half court?
I am admittedly not a sports ball enthusiast, but I'm luckily not that daft with it, but I would probably be more inclined to discuss things like, you know, I like this team because they have a better logo and their color combination is more clever. So I like this better, but I don't like this team because I don't like that color combination. It's too basic.
Yeah.
I think you'd be more like when Dennis Miller did it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people disagree with this. I thought Dennis Miller was brilliant on Monday Night Football.
He brought a lot of highbrow comments into the discussion about what was happening on the field.
And what a lot of people who were not old enough to remember it do not realize is that the original Monday Night Football crew with Howard Cosell was a very literate, erudite commentator. You know, there was a reason why he sounded almost poetic like a Vin Scully when he was calling Monday Night Football. It's because the man really was very learned, and he knew literature and philosophy and all sorts of things. You know, he wasn't a former athlete who became a commentator. He was a journalist who became a commentator, and he was an incredibly learned and sophisticated person. You know, and Dennis Miller brought some of that same thing, but you know, also bitingly sarcastic at the same time.
Yeah. So what you're saying is when there's a commentator who doesn't have TBI from 8,000 career concussions, you actually get a better quality of commentary.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
you can.
Well, you know, John Madden may have been a classic, but I think Frank Caliendo had him nailed. And yes. So, you know, he ended up better with that. I thought Dennis Miller did bring something to it. And that's why I say Ainsley would bring something, because like with the one on art, and you sort of just went and geeked out on the symbolism, I think even in a sports discussion, you'd be able to bring something in besides just describing whether or not the left guard pulled his shoulder or something like that.
Yeah, I'll bring like the completely dropped in out of nowhere, this is my first time perspective, where I could glean something completely random that nobody would have ever considered because they're like, what? I would have never noticed that.
Hey, Ainsley, let's test your sports talk chops right now.
Oh, no.
Best NHL logo, and why is it the Chicago Blackhawks?
Ooh. The Blackhawks logo is pretty good. You know, I gotta go I got to say, you know what? Best NHL logo is New Jersey Devils.
That one is pretty sweet. It definitely
is. It's so beautifully simple. I love it.
Yeah.
And yeah, beautifully simple is the Flyers.
That's also
a beautifully simple logo.
You know what I find interesting? Speaking of sports logos, which we're not, and is completely has nothing to do with this podcast. The city of Pittsburgh. What's up with every team being black and yellow? You've got the Pirates, you've got the Steelers, and you've got the Penguins. All
they
black
coordinated. They all coordinated, so that way you only have to buy one outfit. it makes it easy.
It does save a lot. They don't have to redecorate.
Yeah,
your game room. And
very smart.
Like
that. Yeah, Pittsburgh's like, you know what? We're on a budget. Like, we just got black and yellow.
It does make sense. Now, worst NHL logo ever of all time. I'm going to say Hartford Whalers. It was a W with a whale's tail. Come on, guys. Don't phone it in like that, please. That was
not
an insult
to graphic
design. I am
not a fan of the updated LA Kings logo. That's a little...
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah,
I could talk logos all day, but I know that's not what we're here for.
Welcome to Logo Chat. Next up, we're going to have Rowan Mars talking about his favorite city flags. All right. Well, before we go off into the weeds yet again, how about we listen to a message from our sponsor, Pig and a Pug Bath Stuff?
Yes, can I help you?
Hello, good afternoon, ma'am. I'm terribly sorry to have bothered you. My name is Kenneth Friendship. I'm pounding the pavement in your neighborhood asking people, just like yourself, about their household bath products. Would you mind sparing just a few minutes of your time to answer some mildly intrusive questions? It'll be real quick, I swear.
Oh, I suppose. I was just about to start a marathon of Are You Being Served? But I guess anything for the greater good.
Great. If you don't mind, I'll just jump right in. You do use cleaning products, don't you? Detergents, cleansers, soaps, balms, salves, things of that nature?
Of course. Why, doesn't everyone?
Nifty. Can you tell me about your hand soaps? Or are you part of the population that just has a piece of wet sandpaper next to the sink?
Sandpaper?
You know what? That's a common response. I'll also bet your hands have the texture of a painter's elbow.
Yes.
Let me make a suggestion. You know, a lot of your neighbors are using products by a company called Pig and a Pug. They're a company based in Missoula, Montana, you know, where they do all that fishing and that.
I've never heard of it.
That's fine. You can hop on the internet and look up Pig and a Pug on Etsy.com. You can get the goods there, too. Do you like witty product names?
Who doesn't?
You'll love their fall soap line this year. Bone Suds and Harmony, Better Call Fall, The Washing Dead. Not even a whiff of a cease and desist there. The Pumpkin Spice is your next-door neighbor's favorite, and between you and me, she's got the hands of a poet.
That stuff must cost a fortune.
You know, in life, you do get what you pay for. But if you use the code THANKYOU24 at checkout on Etsy, they will know that I sent you and they're going to knock off 24%. I heard she's got a weird thing about even numbers.
I'll make sure to place two orders then.
You won't regret it. Have a nice day.
What a strange man. Oh well. Captain Peacock is calling me.
All right, we are back after that holiday message from Pig and a Pug Bath Stuff. And we have a large shout out this episode.
Yippee!
So this is a really exciting one. This is out of Italy. We have we have a new lodge in Italy. It's in Milan. It is Resilienza number 3 of Milan, Italy.
And Resilienza.
That is with much thanks to the Grand Lodge of Switzerland. They are the ones sponsoring these Italian lodges. And it looks like before too long, Italy might have enough lodges to form their own Grand Lodge.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Ainsley, Milan, that is an international center of art and design, correct?
Yes, it is. Basically a lot of Italy is.
Italy, you can't walk down a street in Italy without running into some sort of great art or something like that. They used to bust up the marble statues and use them for fill material for buildings. I mean, it's Italy. They got nothing to do there.
They're just tripping over them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they paint stuff, they sculpt, and they write operas. What else do they have to do? You know, pasta 3 times a day and then back to writing another Vincenzo Bellini opera.
And then smoke a cigarette and drink a bottle of wine and you're good.
That's right. So congratulations.
In just a little bit of time, we will be seeing the new Italian designer Oddfellow Collars out on the runway, giving the Philippines a run for its money. Ooh. On coming up with the latest designs.
Yeah. I would love to see what some of those designers in Milan could do with our regalia. I bet that would be very chic.
I'm like thinking like Versace, opulence, like all the gold, all the bullion, all of the just ornamental over the topness, and it's just dripping with gold and chains and just opulence.
Or it would just be
furry. That's the only word.
It'd just be just furry.
Yeah.
Like a big fur collar.
Yeah, like a big fur collar, like it was on your winter coat. But in red.
This is not the Muscovites. One of these days, maybe we'll do an episode about the Muscovites and the Busbys trimmed in fur and all of that. But we are celebrating the year in Three Links Oddcast with our Christmas episode here. Now, Ainsley, over the break, we were talking and you had another episode that you thought was a particular highlight from this year.
Yeah, we had a crossover episode with another podcast that we came across, I believe it was on Instagram, just kind of searching through, because they had done an episode about Oddfellow stuff. And so we're like, hey, you want to come talk to us? So we did a crossover with the Afternoonified podcast. And I believe that episode was entitled, Don't Look in the Closet. And the gist of that episode was our lovely habit of leaving things behind where they shouldn't be left, and then people discovering said things while looking either in grandpa's garage, or here's this old lodge hall with the little trap door, or wherever little nook or cranny in the wall. That episode was revealing the rather mundane reality of why skeletons are just being left here, there, and everywhere versus the the many, many exotic, colorful examples of how they did not get there.
The truth being that is the number one way that we get publicity.
Yes.
Yeah. And like the host said, isn't remove the skeleton number one on the list for closing a lodge hall?
You would think that it would be like up there, with pulling the charter off of the wall. You'd think thing number two would be secure the scene.
If you can find
it. We,
I guess.
We on the inside, we understand just how absurd that can be sometimes because, okay, the last functional member of the lodge is 97 years old. He's in a nursing home. He can barely talk. You go and talk to Brother Charlie and he kind of mumbles something about stairs. And you're like, what? The Grand Secretary goes in there to close down the lodge hall. Grabs the minute book and the treasurer's cash book and goes to the bank and says, yeah, I'm from the Grand Lodge. We're closing the accounts. gets the cashier's check for $382.56 and puts that in a ratty old cardboard box full of flea-bitten old collars and sashes and a couple spears and a warden's axe in the back of his car, and he goes back to the Grand Lodge office with it, and he's like, stairs, I don't, you know, and then a couple months later, the building is sold, okay, and nobody thinks, oh, wait, did we get the scene? No, because there's so many various things that have to come together to close down a lodge. Everybody's concerned about the money, the title to the building and the land and all these other things that nobody ever thinks, oh yeah, did we take the skeleton out?
Yeah. And I guess old George gets left behind a lot, because maybe if they're, you know, going either, if it is just the Grand Secretary or one person, you know, representing the Grand Lodge is going, and they've got, you know, they're probably showing up in, you know, their sedan or something, you know, and they might not even have room to put that scene or have another set of hands to help them carry it. And I mean, it's a sad reality that probably like in the 80s and 90s, when we were bleeding lodges and so many were closing so rapidly that they probably didn't even have time to do a thorough inspection of each lodge they were closing down. They were just lucky to get in and get what they could get probably before they had to get in the car and drive another 300 miles to do the same thing for another one.
Well, I mean, I've gone and done this before, and we went and, you know, the lodge had not been meeting on the top floor where the lodge room was anymore. They were meeting a floor lower in the dining hall. They hadn't been upstairs in decades. And we searched. I mean, we searched. We tore things apart trying to find it. We eventually did find it. And we were fortunate that lodge had not had a consolidation where there would have been more than one. Uh-huh. Then you would have taken one out and you would have thought, got it, check it off the list, we have it, without realizing there was another one stashed somewhere if you didn't think to look. There are lodges that I know of that have two or three, you know, stacked up like flapjacks, because lodges are consolidated, and what else are you going to do with them? They're very hard to dispose of.
Yeah. And that always presents a little bit of a challenge. Here in Washington, we actually have a plan anytime we come across a scene that is actual human remains. We send it to our Oddfellows Cemetery in Olympia, and they cremate what is left of the scene and then add it to a niche in the columbarium. And that way we can give whatever remains there are a dignified resting place.
They've been initiated so many times that they're definitely
They finally earned their final degree.
That's right. And that brings me to another great episode that we did. Kate Osman talking about the process of going through and studying funeral science, because that is something where Odd Fellowship used to be so connected to that industry. And now it's funeral directors, some of them may be somewhat familiar that there are fraternal organizations out there, but a lot of them don't realize we used to be very involved in funerals and death care and that whole part of the end of life.
That was a really cool episode. I was unfortunately not available to be there firsthand, but I did listen to it after the fact. And a lot of good points were made about what we could be doing more as Odd Fellows right now to keep fulfilling that command to, bury the dead. And hopefully Kate will continue to explore ideas of how to marry Odd Fellowship back into the death industry so that we can continue to provide that important function to members that maybe a lot of members don't even realize is available, that we have a funeral service.
I had forgotten that was the first episode that I had to be Andy Richter.
I
was so focused on what she was talking about, and I'm thinking back about that whole episode and what we discussed and trying to do a better job of planning and making sure your members know how to ask for an Odd Fellow funeral service and how to have their plans in order. We were so busy during that episode. I don't think I even, I, I mean, obviously I missed you, Ainsley, but I had sort of forgotten that you had missed that one because it just flowed so well because she was such a knowledgeable guest and was so easy to work with that we didn't have the awkward pause going, where's Ainsley's quippy comment right now?
Yeah. Where's Ainsley to walk all over us on the microphone when I try to start commenting? Yeah.
Now, another thing that I really like that we do on this podcast is we really try and share useful information for Oddfellow members. And the episode, Ainsley, that you got organized with Jack Crispin from California talking about reinstating nonprofit status. What an incredibly important, useful episode that was.
Oh, super, super useful. And, you know, my lodge, we're still in that process right now. We're towards the closing, and I had another paper I had to sign and send into the IRS for our 501c8 status. But it gave a lot of really good information and a lot to think about that a lot of members don't even think about the 501 status of our lodges and what that means and what that provides us and what we could, you know, benefit from by having some sort of protection. And so, yeah, I'm glad we had that episode.
Yeah. Every now and then we do try and do those sort of helpful, informative, you know, useful, functional episodes for our listeners. So sometimes we're just having fun.
And when you would have thought that would have been like the most stalest, mundane, boring topic, but I think, you know, having Jack be the person to do the talking really made it a lot more interesting because he's such an interesting guy just to start with. So it wasn't like having the, you know, I'm thinking of like a Ben Stein type character, like coming here and prattling on about numbers if you fill out the form on the website and you know, and it gets boring because it's very, you know, it's not exciting material, but he made it interesting.
Are you telling me the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act is not exciting?
It actually pretty much is. But one thing I thought was interesting in that episode, though, was how not consistent we are. When we went through talking about getting tax status and finding out the lodges in California aren't using the group exemption from Sovereign Grand Lodge, they're going another way. And we find that all across the realm of Odd Fellowship, there is not some consistency. And of course, our Canadian lodges are not filing under the United States income tax process. And so it really is a topic that needs a lot more depth to go into and would be something that one of the committees at the Sovereign Grand Lodge might want to put a little bit more guidance documentation in, because there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution for handling our nonprofit status. I think that's one thing that really came out highlighted well in that episode. And speaking of highlighting well and people who had a great voice.
Yeah.
Before I was here, we had a gentleman with a really great voice who is having our next holiday message for us. That is your former host, Christopher Hale.
Yeah, good old Christopher McHale. We love Christopher. He's the one who does all of the commercials for Pig in a Pug bath stuff. He's fantastic. So let's listen to what Christopher has to say.
My childhood was streets upon streets upon streets upon streets. Oh, wait, that's the Morrissey autobiography. Sorry, I got the wrong thing here. The year was 2022. We lost musician Jerry Lee Lewis, watermelon safety standard tester Gallagher, the world's oldest parrot, Gilbert Gottfried, but the saddest of all, the Queen of England. We also saw the first World Cup to ever take place in a Middle Eastern country. Wow! We all had very busy years. Me as well. But I made time for the world's most important book, The one thing that has been a shining light in the darkness of humanity, which has guided us through many years of turmoil, the Rod Stewart autobiography. This book is 11 hours in audio format of the funniest stories that nobody in the world can relate to. My personal favorite, it involves Christmas shopping. You see, the protagonist of our tale is shopping for a young yet still extravagant Elton John. His main thought is, what do I get for someone who could literally buy themselves anything? So he's really racking his brain about this, and all of a sudden it comes to him, right? He sees the perfect thing. It's this tabletop refrigerator. It holds one drink, and when you open it up, like a mist comes out, and he's like, right, Elton John is going to love this. He's going to absolutely go crazy. It's 300 pounds, cost-wise, not weight. So he thought, this is perfect. And he had a humbling moment when he revealed what Elton John had gotten him for Christmas that year, which was a Rembrandt, an early one, too. So Elton John had spent far over £1 million, and Rod Stewart had basically gotten him a gag gift. The next milestone in Rod Stewart's life was his 10-year anniversary with one of his many wives. And Elton John, the comedian that he is, sent Rod Stewart a 10-pound gift card for a local chemist and said, get yourself something nice for the house. I guess that everything in life is about having a sense of humor, and that the perfect gift is getting someone something that they wouldn't normally get themselves. Merry Christmas, be good to each other. And, you know, every year we see on the news somebody somehow gets their car stuck, like in the second story of someone's house because they're driving too fast. Not suggesting that any of you are going to do that, but just definitely don't be that person this year, because nobody wants to be that person. Take care, and see you soon.
That is great. Always the humor from Christopher McCann.
Words to live by from Brother Christopher.
He's like an absurd Dadaist, Andy Warholian, like David Lynchian, absurd. I don't know what he is, but he's something.
When we went to Idaho to the museum rededication, we went a couple days early so we could do some sightseeing, the usual Idaho stuff like craters of the moon. I said to him, Christopher, we got a couple days. What do you want to see? Anything, I don't care what it is, put it on the list and we'll do it. Out in the middle of the desert in southern Idaho, there is an Airbnb that you can stay in. It's a giant potato. And it used to be some sort of promotional thing for Idaho potatoes, because, spoiler alert, they grow a lot of potatoes in southern Idaho. And somebody bought this thing. It had been on a flatbed trailer and they'd take it around. It's like the Wiener Mobile, but for potatoes. And somebody had bought it and just dropped it next to the railroad tracks way out, like, I think it's like an hour southeast of Mountain Home, Idaho. So it's really close to nothing. And you just drive up and there it is next to the railroad tracks along the side of the road. And if you book it on Airbnb, you get the code for the lock so you can get in. And he was like, I want to see that. And I was like, okay, we will see that. Now, we went to Mammoth Cave in Idaho because they have their own Mammoth Cave in Idaho. It's beautiful, really amazing. And then we also saw Craters of the Moon. We went to Arco, Idaho, which is the first city that was powered by atomic energy. And with Lizard Rock and a few other things like that. But he had to see the giant potato that you can rent as a hotel. And that's just Christopher. You know, he sees the world a little differently from the rest of us.
That was the highlight of your trip too, though, Toby.
Oh yeah, I loved the giant potato too.
Did it meet the expectations and hopes and dreams of potato?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
I mean, really. Okay, let's be honest here. I'm going to pull the gloves off. State of Washington is falling behind in that regard. We are woefully behind the state of Idaho when it comes to large live-in fiberglass vegetables. I am so embarrassed that the city of Walla Walla has not developed some sort of large onion that you can rent. And that is a stain of shame upon the entire state of Washington. So
you should write the mayor.
Yeah, I should. I tell you, if they would only elect me governor of this state, I'd have this place fixed up like that. You can't even believe it. You know, I've already been grand master. You know, Samuel Cosgrove was elected governor, and he's a past grandmaster. He only served one day as governor of Washington, and then he died, though. So, sucks to be him.
He would solve the homelessness crisis by building Turnip Town.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, what's more hospitable than a large, warm turnip?
Yeah, just a whole bunch of turnips, a whole patch.
Yeah. So before we go, we should probably tease a few things we have coming up for the next year. Not that we have it all planned out, but we definitely have some stuff on the list. The one that I'm most excited about is for President's Day, I want to do a special episode about President Rutherford B. Hayes. He was president elected in 1876, and pop culture has done him a disservice. Most people think of him as the guy who ended Reconstruction, which is maybe not necessarily an entirely fair assessment. And we talked about him a little bit when we did the Presidential Odd Fellows episode in our first season, but I'd really love to dig in more and get to talk a little bit more with maybe a historian or someone. I'm still looking around for a guest for that episode, but I'd love to find out really more about the actual presidency of Rutherford B. Hayes and not just the sort of pop culture glib dismissal of him that he normally gets, because he was an incredibly dedicated Odd Fellow. The story goes that at the end of his presidential term, when he goes back to Ohio in 1881, he goes back to his hometown, Fremont, Ohio. And what's the first thing he does? He goes to his lodge meeting. And it happens to be election night at the lodge. And here, former President Rutherford B. Hayes, Brother Rutherford, sits down on one of the back benches. And immediately, as soon as they open nominations for Noble Grand, it's unanimous. President Hayes, you have to serve as Noble Grand. And he very politely deferred. He said, I've already served the nation as president. I don't want to take a leadership opportunity away from any of my brothers here in this lodge. And they said, no, we insist you have to be Noble Grand. So they elected him Noble Grand.
They probably were like this, like just excited to have, you know, like, oh, our Noble Grand was the president.
That's right. How did that work out at district meetings, I wonder?
Hurrah for Hayes in honest ways. He cleaned up the Grand Lodge too.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, Rutherford B. Hayes was instrumental in the founding of the Ohio State University. And he also, before he passed, was, I believe, on the board of the Ohio Odd Fellows Home and helped get that established. He was a wonderful Odd Fellow and really a great statesman who was put in an incredibly difficult position and found a way to help bring the country back together after the Civil War and after the end of military rule in the South. And I think too often people look back at Hayes and go, you know, he was a sellout. He took the presidency in exchange for ruining the civil rights of millions of people. But that's not really the case. And I would love to have a historian on who could talk to us and really enlighten us about the presidency of Brother Hayes.
Maybe if you can't find a historian for Rutherford B. Hayes, maybe we could just have to settle for a Warren G. Harding.
Oh. Okay. Complaint time. Why do the Masons get all the good presidents? I mean, we had Grant, we had FDR, mm-hmm. We had Hayes, we had Roosevelt. Well, I mentioned him already. FDR.
Arthur.
No, not Chester Allen Arthur. He wasn't an odd fellow. McKinley. That's who I was thinking
McKinley,
of.
McKinley, that's who I meant, yeah.
Who was before Teddy Roosevelt. And then, like, Warren Harding. Warren Harding is one... I mean, James Buchanan keeps him from being the worst president we've ever had. Warren Harding was a horrible excuse for a president, but he was a Brother Oddfellow, so you know, we gotta stick him up there. You know, meanwhile, we've got all the Masonic presidents. Oh, look, it's George Washington and all the rest of them. You know, they got all the Teddy Roosevelt. They even Gerald Ford was a Freemason. Why don't we get more of those good presidents? We need to fix that.
It's kind of part of the charm, though, is that, you know, of course, the odd fellows get like the random like B tier presidents.
Yeah, we'll take the B list presidents. We've got Grant and Roosevelt and, well, the rest. It's like the original theme from Gilligan's Island.
As a Mason, I can probably get away with saying I think the difference is that the Odd Fellows attracts people who are more interested in doing good for others and are a little less focused on themselves. And I think that's why we don't have always the go-getters that are shooting for the top of the ladder, because we've got the people who are happily reaching down to the people below. And I think that might be why we don't see so many Odd Fellow presidents. And it's another reason why I'm excited for another episode we have coming up in the coming year. I have been able to get it confirmed that this spring we will have Past Sovereign Grand Master George Glover join us for a whole episode on his experiences in Odd Fellowship, which should be
awesome.
Really That's exciting fantastic. Because he has like an entire lifetime of being involved with Odd Fellowship from when he was a child all the way up through till still now, writing almost everybody's legislation for them.
I love George Glover. He is such a brilliant, brilliant brother. I remember the session in Cincinnati in 21, sitting just for 2 hours listening to the man tell stories about his experiences in Odd Fellowship. So that is going to be a fantastic episode. And I know, Ainsley, you have been working a little bit of that programming magic in Illinois, because I know we're going to be starting out the new year with an interview from one of the members of the new lodge there in Illinois.
Yeah, we're going to be speaking with Matt Reggie from Queen City 357 out of Quincy, Illinois, which is the newest Illinois lodge. And they were reinstituted back in June. So yeah, that's going to be a really exciting episode to kind of pull things a little bit full circle and talk to a new member and how they got into everything.
Yeah, you said Queen City. I thought it was Gem City.
Oh, my goodness. It is Gem City. Thank you for correcting me. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Gem City 357, not Queen City. Queen City's a tattoo shop in Terre Haute.
Queen City's my wires also a lodge. Queen City is also a lodge in Burlington, Vermont, as I recently
It is,
found
yeah.
out.
Somebody had mentioned that that name very recently on something. I was just like, oh, wow, there's another. Yeah,
I think it was on Discord where that popped up.
That might have been, yeah. So, yeah, my mistake, Gem City.
There's another great lodge resource we're going to be talking about. We're going to be doing an episode on some of the different modes of communication for Odd Fellowship. The Discord server, the various subreddits for Odd Fellows. Of course, the Facebook groups a lot of people knows about, some of the lodge Instagram pages, and, you know, really digging into some of the newer methods of communication, because right now we are creating a whole new kind of Odd Fellowship that is a fellowship outside of the lodge hall, because we can interact together in cyberspace. Even this podcast is a part of that network.
It's like a satellite of online places where we can interact with each other and members who might not be close enough to a lodge that they could go to every single meeting are able to get their daily dose of Odd Fellowship online.
That's right. And of course, we have to give a big thanks to the other major Odd Fellows podcast, our friends Billy and Tara at Modern Goat Rider. They do a fantastic podcast as well. I always look forward to their episodes because they're sort of like the Canadian version of us, you know, very calm, very reserved, very precise, whereas we're always yelling and talking over one another. They're so polite about it.
Yeah, and Billy is very precise and succinct with every word he uses. And then there's me, and I'm just like, blah, 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 blah. And then I got to like somehow like realize, oh, there's other people in the room that also want to talk. I better shut up.
Yeah, we're really going to have to pick it up and start adding some U's into our words because they're taking their hiatus. And the brothers and sisters of Canada are going to rely on us to bring them their only dose of Odd Fellow podcasting. So we're going to have to add some U to our color and, you know, really step it up for being the voice for all the Odd Fellows, including our Canadian brothers and sisters.
That's right. And open invitation. I know that Billy and Tara are both very busy with what's going on in their own lodges right now. But if they ever want to join us and jump in for an episode or a guest spot or anything like that, the door is always open here at the Three Links Oddcast. Now, as we wrap this up, we have something we've been teasing now for a couple weeks, and it's our final holiday message. Now, when we started out 2.5 years ago, it was Sergio, who unfortunately is no longer able to join us on the podcast, and Ainsley and myself, and bad microphones and not exactly the best sound, but a lot of enthusiasm. And at the time, nobody really knew who we were or what we were doing. And if we would
email know who we were or what we were doing either.
Yeah, that's true. But we'd email people and say, hey, would you want to come on the podcast? And they're like, the what? The who? What are you doing? Well, I think this next message demonstrates just how much this podcast has grown in quality, in stature, and in reach. Because now it is our honor as the hosts of the Three Link Oddcast to introduce a message from our Sovereign Grandmaster, the Honorable Michelle Heckert.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is the time of year for sharing the gifts of Odd Fellowship with our families, communities, and lodge members. It's so important that we reach out to our shut-ins with phone calls, cards, giving gift baskets, and making visits so they know how important they are to us. This is the season of new beginnings, a time to mend relationships, set goals for our lodge's future, energize our meetings, mentor our new members, and gather together in friendship, love, and truth. If we practice all the tenets of our order, we will have active lodges, happy members, and a prosperous new year. No matter what your personal beliefs are at this time of the year, the basic message of the season is love. Love of self, love of family, love for our brothers and sisters, love for our community, and love for the world which needs us more than ever. Make time to be a blessing to someone else, and the blessings you get from giving will come back to you abundantly. Our actions speak much louder than our words. If we truly believe in the tenets of our order, then we will make a difference in the world by truly elevating our character and the character of mankind. Remember, teamwork is a positive action taken by members of our lodges to pull together for the good of our order. Together, we can make our dreams of a better world a reality. I want to thank Brother Ainsley and Brother Toby for giving me the opportunity to wish all of you a safe, healthy, and happy holiday. Merry Christmas, and may God bless each and every one of you.
a holiday message from our sovereign grandmaster, the Honorable Michelle Heckert. Thank you so much, Sister Michelle, for taking the time to record that message that we could share with all of our brothers and sisters all throughout the world of Odd Fellowship.
That was fantastic.
I felt like saying, Merry Christmas, movie house. I mean, she really nailed the whole meaning of what we're trying to do and connected it together. And it gave you that sort of feeling that you're supposed to have at this time of the year.
Merry Christmas, you beautiful old building and lawn.
Hey, Andrew says every time a bell rings and Eve gets his wings.
Oh, that's right, Zuzu. That's right.
There, now you don't even have to watch It's a Wonderful Life this year.
No, you don't.
The state of Jimmy Stewart is going to send you a licensing.
Toby's new It's a Wonderful Order.
Yes,
that's right.
An Odd Fellow story.
Another sidelight here. Do you remember the Saturday Night Live skit with the lost ending to It's a Wonderful Life?
Yes.
Oh, that was so funny. Uncle Billy's like, wait, I remember what I did with the money. I left it in Potter's bank. And they all go down and beat up old man Potter. Oh, well, I think with that, unless you brothers have anything else, we can close out the Christmas episode of the Three Links Oddcast for 2022.
This is the end of another year.
That's right.
And the start of a new one.
And the start of a new one.
2.5 years of doing this podcast. We haven't even run out of ideas for episodes yet. I was worried after the first 3 months, we'd be like, well, there's nothing else to talk about in Odd Fellowship. That's it. We're done.
Covered it all.
Yep. Yeah, we've solved everything. You know, we've even preserved all of those recipes for Rebecca food, like deviled ham sandwiches and Jell-O with shredded carrots and raisins and stuff. There's nothing else to talk about.
And I feel like we've still have some very basic topics that we haven't even touched yet, because we've had so many opportunities to dive down rabbit holes and wormholes and black holes of just random odd topics that just kind of come across the desk that really, you know, just exciting things, like the, you know, people having ideas, you know, like Owen always has ideas he wants to come on and record for, or, you know, if we see podcasts out there, we want to interact with them. And we've just, I feel like we haven't even scraped the bottom yet to hit bedrock. We're still in the pay layer right now.
That's right.
And that's just our own ideas. And the one thing we always get inspiration from is when the various listeners email us and tell us things about what's going on in their lodges and in their neck of the woods and the things that they're doing and the kinds of questions they have, or the things that have come up that they had to work through that they'd like to have more information shared about with everyone else. So I would definitely like to encourage all of you, if you have stories of good things that have happened or bad things that have happened or things that you wish would have happened, but you couldn't figure out how to have happen, or whatever else it is, to please contact us. You can email us at the Three Links Oddcast. You can go to our Facebook page and contact us. You can contact us on Instagram. You can contact any one of your hosts on the many places that they exist out in the digital world. You can find us on Discord. You can find us pretty much anywhere. If you open up your bathroom medicine cabinet, there is probably one of us hiding in there. Just go ahead and contact us and tell us your ideas, because you could be the next guest on the Three Links Oddcast.
That's right. I'm next to the Preparation H. I'm just waiting in there.
I was going to say, I'd be right by the antacid tablets.
Yeah.
But before we wrap up,
yes,
I want to circle all the way back to the beginning of this episode.
Yes.
Because we really left something hanging. We know that Toby takes his leather pants out in September. Now, I personally don't have any leather pants, but I really want to know, Ainsley, when do you take your leather pants out?
Ooh, I mean, I do not own a leather pant.
Oh my goodness, Toby, you're the only one here that's got the leather pants.
I know. I am embarrassing my German last name.
Yeah, but you know what? You're a brother, Oddfellow, and we still love you.
Oh, thank you. But if I were to have a leather pant, I feel like I would not have a special season for said leather pant. I feel like it would be, you know, I would have to have summer pant and winter pant, you know, for, you know, the lightweight lederhosen and the more, you know, cold weather lederhosen. And then, you know, who knows, maybe like an Easter dirndl. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Ainsley's leather pants would be like the practice pigskin for tattooing. I think he would have so many things injected into that leather pant that he would have made it. It would be like a wearable sleeve.
That's an idea. That is an idea. That would actually be pretty cool.
You know what, Ainsley? I don't know about the idea of a dirndl for Easter. I have a really hard time imagining you wearing a dress.
I do have pictures and we can laugh at them.
When he got his Rebecca degree.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
of course. That is how we revive the Rebecca branch of Odd Fellowship right there.
There you go.
You know, we invite the drag queens to take the Rebecca degree.
That would be something. I tell you what.
Yep.
That would be a degree to remember.
Yes,
I would go.
I mean, they've already got all the clothing that they would need for it. You know, plenty of polyester women's wear. So it's,
and wigs and makeup.
And wigs.
Yeah.
I cannot count the number of Rebeccas that I have seen wearing wigs at assembly. You know, it's part of the costume.
Could you imagine the drama of that Rebecca degree?
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
That would be fantastic. That would be awesome.
Yes. That's okay. The lodges of San Francisco, California, this is your new mission. You need to go out and the Rebecca lodges in San Francisco, you need to set the trend by bringing in the drag queens to the Rebecca degree. There it is. We've saved the Rebeccas, brothers. Once again, we have done it. We have saved Odd Fellowship.
A brand new Rebecca Oddfellow video degree available to everyone to use to revitalize.
Exactly.
Only available on RuPaul's World of Wonder app.
Well, there you have it, folks. The Christmas episode of the Three Links Oddcast. On behalf of Mike, Ainsley, and myself, we want to wish everyone out there a very Merry Christmas and whatever else it is that you celebrate, because we're Oddfellows and we love pretty much everyone. So thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.